principles of prayer. And throughout this month, we will stay there, because it's not something, the principle of prayer is not something you can teach in one sermon. In fact, I don't think you can teach it in a month, but we try to just, you know, keep. I can't teach you everything about prayer this month, but I'll do my best as the Holy Spirit will help me to understand the principles of prayer. I wanted to say is that you need to understand that not all prayer is the same. Amen? Not all prayer. I remember being in the church before and someone came up and I was like, you know, just anytime you pray, just pray like a child. Yeah? That's all you need to do, is pray like a child. And God will answer your prayer. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. That's why you go to school. Yeah? You know, you don't want to remain a baby. Amen? Amen? No baby comes into this world knowing everything they need to know. What babies come into this world with is innocence. Amen? But faith comes by what? Hallelujah. So, you know, sometimes I struggle with this thought. I say, like, what about Jesus? You know, I thank God for my sister there. She asked me some challenging questions in discipleship. Amen? Sometimes you feel like Jesus, because he's the Son of God, that's why everything worked for him. The Bible says in Philippians that he emptied himself of his divine privileges and took upon himself the form of a human. I would say he was tempted in every point as we are. Do you believe that Jesus can be tempted? Amen? Do you believe that Jesus can feel the feelings you felt when he was on earth? He was as much God as he was as much man. Hallelujah. How did Jesus operate? How did Jesus know? Jesus studied the word of God. Amen. Do you know how many years Jesus lived before he started his ministry? Anybody? How many years Jesus lived before he started the ministry? 30 years. Nothing is written about any miracle that Jesus performed in 30 years. Amen? Check your Bible. If you find one, 20 pounds. Nothing. What was he doing for 30 years? The Bible says he learned obedience through the things he suffered. That's in Hebrews. He learned obedience. So imagine Jesus learned. Amen? Jesus what? He learned. He got familiar with the word. Hallelujah. He practiced the word. He learned. Hallelujah. So I told myself, I said, look, the way Jesus succeeded is allowing himself to be filled with the word of God and with the spirit of God. And that's available to you. Amen? He said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only. That was then. Amen? That was then. Jesus is not the only begotten Son of God now. He is the firstborn among many brethren. Hallelujah. For as many as received him, what did he do? He gave them the power to become what? Hallelujah. He's the firstborn. He's the head of his body, which is the church. I listened to the message this morning. He said, or was it yesterday? He said, when Jesus was on earth, he was the only body of Christ. When Jesus was on earth, he was both head and body. But when he died and rose, he gave birth to many sons. Hallelujah. We are the body. Say, I'm part of the body. Hallelujah. That should make you feel better. I'm not disconnected from Christ. If you are born again, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. Hallelujah. You don't get it from the womb. But if you are born again, if you are born of the Spirit, if you are born of the Spirit, you have become a part of the body of Christ. And Jesus now is your head. One day God opened my eyes, the way it works. The head functions through the body. Jesus needs me to function in this world. Amen? When Jesus was on earth, he said, I am the light of the world. But when he was about leaving, he said what? You are what? The light. Why? Because he's living. Amen? Where is Jesus physically now? Where is Jesus physically? At the right hand. He still remains a man. I hope you know that. A thought crossed my mind the other day. You know, the Bible talks about in the resurrection. Jesus said, when he was giving them the bread and the wine, he said, I'm not going to drink of this until in the kingdom. Yeah? So I'm thinking to myself, well, how can, you know, in the kingdom, but you know, we are spiritual. How can spirits drink wine? But let me just remind him that we're not just going to be spirits. We're going to have resurrected bodies. Amen? Spirits don't drink wine. bodies do. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're not going to get drunk. Amen. We're not going to get drunk. Can you imagine Jesus getting drunk? Can you just imagine that? Can you imagine? Hallelujah. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be what? Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the head. Say, he's the head. He functions through me in the world. That's why I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. See, if my light does not shine, the world is hopeless. The world around me. You will never meet everybody in the world. I hope you know that. But you will meet some people who will meet some other people who will meet some other people who will meet some other people. Hallelujah. You let your light shine in the midst of the people you meet. That Christ will function through you. He wants to. There is no useless member of the body. You know the science, the evolutionist, not the scientist, because I'm a scientist myself. Amen? Amen? Science is about observation. Yeah? And experimentation until you can validate and say this thing is like this because it's going to repeat itself. What you have not observed, you cannot say is science. It's speculation. It's an idea, an hypothesis. It's not science yet until it's observable and repeatable. Praise the Lord. So some evolutions came up and said, oh, but the appendix. Appendix. It has no function. That was long ago until they discovered that, no, the appendix has function. Amen? It's part of your immune system. In that appendix are some bacteria stored. Yeah? That help your body to function. Praise the Lord. There is no useless part and there's no useless member of the body. Oh, there are strong members of the body. Amen? Like your eye. You want to say the eye is what? The light of the body. You know, like if your appendix troubles you too much, they can tell you to trim it. And you won't feel you lost too much. But your eye, hallelujah. There could be strong members of the body, there could be weak members of the body, but there's no one important member of the body. The body needs all members to function. Christ needs you to function in this world. Say, Christ needs me to function in this world. That is why your light has to shine. It is not just light that chases darkness. Hello? It is not just ordinary light that chases away darkness. If you don't believe me, bring me a torchlight with weak battery. Yeah? See how far it will lead you. Amen? Hallelujah? It's light. Amen? Use your candle light on the motorway. See how far you will go. It's not light. That's why I will never join you in singing that song, This Little Light of Mine. Amen? It's so unscriptural. Because the light that is in you is Christ. And it's not little. Hallelujah. When you make those confessions, they are confessions of unbelief. And your light is little. You're going to let it shine. This little light. Oh, this little light. Hallelujah. My delight in me is Christ. He's the light of the world. Hallelujah. He's not little. The same light in me is the light of Christ. Hallelujah. But it's true. You having that light in you is not enough. It's got to shine. It's light that shines that will chase away the darkness. The one that is hidden chases no darkness away. Praise the Lord. Say, I will let my light shine. That's what he said. He said, let your light so shine. Hallelujah. Let it shine. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. I always try to remind people, I say, you're not here for an economic mission. If that's all you are thinking, you will never, your light will not shine. All your testimonies will be that they increase my salary. And you will never pay tithe. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Throw away the mindset of an economic immigrant. That's not your destiny. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are here. Wherever you find yourself on the face of this earth, you're on a mission. You're a member of the body. Hallelujah. Yeah, what brought you? What brought you may be different. The reason that brought you may be different. It doesn't matter. You are here now. Hallelujah. You are here now. Hallelujah. Say, what's your hometown? My hometown is the town I live in as my home. Because that's where I can function. Hello? My hometown is not the town of my father. Where he grew up or where he was born. That's not my hometown. I don't even know how to speak their dialect. Praise the Lord. Your hometown is where you live and can function. Some of you here, you spent 12 years in business school. I'm talking to myself. Some have spent longer and some have spent less. Some of you, you came to business school planning to spend just 1 year. You know what about you, business school? Job change, job change. Yeah, job change. Job, economics. Hallelujah. But suddenly, you find out that you have spent how many years?
9, sir.
Hallelujah. 9 years of your life has gone just like that. Hallelujah. And if we start checking your account, we may not find evidence. We may not find evidence of 9 years of income. It came, we know. We will find evidence that it came. But we must also find evidence of how it left. Some of them you can't even explain. Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says that your life does not consist in what you possess. Hallelujah. Your life consists in what you use them for. Amen. Your life consists in what you lose them for. Hallelujah. How you use your time, your energy, your resources to affect other lives for righteousness' sake. It is this value of your life. That is the part of your life that will remain for eternity. Praise the Lord. Don't forget. I'm not saying you should not work. You should work. Amen. Because you need to pay your bills. Hallelujah. And maybe save for some holiday. Yeah. Hallelujah. But all those things are just a means to an end. It's not the end in itself. Hallelujah. The day you came into this world, God deposited something into your spirit. It's called the gifts and the callings of God. Bible says they are without repentance. Hallelujah. 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 Either the day I was born physically or the day I got born again, God deposited the gift of a teacher and a shepherd into my spirit. Sometimes people live all their life, they never fulfill the gift. Also, they are using that gift to make money. The devil is smiling. He's happy. One day, God, let me show you one trick of the devil. God opened my eyes one day. I'm not giving you the message for today. You can understand that. Because I can't rush it. Probably I'll go there and teach you a principle and leave it there for today. You know the devil? You don't know him? You should know him. Because it says your adversary. Somebody say adversary. Hallelujah. The devil is not the adversary of God. He's no match for God. God already told him his end. Hallelujah. You know when Jesus came and the demons, you know, he came near. They say, the demons are, oh, have you come to torment us before the time? It's an end. Hallelujah. It's an end. Hallelujah. God says, devil, do your worst. And I will show you that I'm better. Amen. Okay, we talk about Job. You think that Job suffered yet? Do you know how long Job suffered for? Do you know? Nobody knows. Yeah? It's not written in the Bible. But people who estimate, say all those things happen within 9 months. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because God will never allow you. So instead, God will never allow me. Say that. He will never. Look, this is a red line. Hallelujah. It's a red line. God will never allow you, 1 Corinthians 10:13, He will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. Now, it didn't say God will not allow you to be tempted or God will not allow you to be tested. God asked, God, your Father, wants you to be tested. Take that from me. So I want to give you an empty gospel. It's the way of God. Jesus was tested. Amen? The Bible said the Holy Spirit, Jesus was led away by the Spirit to be what? Tempted in the wilderness. Why does God allow you to be tested? Why? God wants to move you forward. God wants to validate you. God wants to empower you. God wants to promote you. There's no promotion without tests. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to validate you so you will not think too highly of yourself. Hallelujah. So you know, so you learn to depend on Him. Hallelujah. But He will never, that's character of God, allow you to be tempted or tested beyond what you can handle. So whatever you're going to now, in God's mind, you have the capacity to handle it and come out victorious. Hallelujah. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Now, let me explain. When you're going through something, don't compare yourself with another person. You have different capacity. Say we have different capacity. Some have it big. Some have it little. Some have it medium. But we all have capacity. Hallelujah. Say, I have capacity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you don't want to be tested at all, it means you lack capacity. You are what? A baby. So I like to deal with my sons. When they are stressing, I say, are you a baby? Hallelujah. That always catches their attention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have capacity. Say, I have capacity. It was put in you by God when you were born. Hallelujah. Nobody is born in this world and is useless. Some people may be disabled. That's not God's perfect will. It's the work of an enemy. But even in their disability, they have capacity. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And all the time. The Holy Spirit is speaking. I didn't plan that sermon. But it's ministering to somebody or some people here in your specific situation. God will never allow you to be tested beyond what you are able. But, that's not the end of the story. He said, but God is faithful. Someone say, God is faithful. Look, we're teaching about prayer. This is the foundation of prayer. You need to know the character of God. Amen. You need to know the red lines of God. That keeps you secure. Hallelujah. That keeps you secure. Hallelujah. There are red lines that will not be crossed. I will never be tested beyond what I am able. Amen? Secondly, God is what? He's faithful. You know what that means to me? He's watching over you. Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why are you not going to fear? Tell me, why are you not going to fear? Yeah. Well, like my friend Mr. O will say, let's interpret it well. God being with you is for granted. Like God does not change, yeah? So if I'm with you, He's with you. Whether you are crying about it or you're laughing about it, He's with you. So that's not the issue. The reason why you will not be afraid is that because you know that He is with you. If you don't know it, you will be what? You will fear. You won't just fear. You will cry. You will be angry. You'll be upset. You'll be frustrated. You will fight everybody. Hallelujah. You have to know. You are going through the valley of the shadow of death, but He is with you. Because He is faithful. Hallelujah. He's not even with you because He likes your face. Amen. He's not even with you because you use makeup or not. He is with you because that is His character. He cannot deny Himself. I always say something, God will never leave you, but you can leave God. God will never leave you, but you can never. God will never walk away from you, but you can walk away. You can walk away. You can move away from the narrow way and end up in the ditch. Hallelujah. But even when you are in the ditch, huh? He's with you. Ready to help you out. If you can call upon his name. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Shall what? He said, whosoever. Hallelujah. The only difference is how they call. Amen? It's how they call. If they call it genuineness, yeah, he will reach out to them. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's with me. Now, when you enter prayer with this understanding, your prayers will start getting answered. He said, God, please, do not forsake me. That's a bad prayer. But you know, God is merciful. I want you to understand. Don't misunderstand. God is what? Merciful. Some prayers that God answers for you, they are in spite of you, not because of you. Hallelujah. It is just mercy. You know, when you're dealing with a baby, you cannot deal with a baby the same way you would deal with an adult. Yeah? You give a lot of mercy to what? To babies. But a baby who should have grown up and refused to, do you give the same level of mercy to them? What do you give them? What do you give them? What do you give a baby who refused to grow up when he should have grown? Do you give them mercy? If the answer is no, what do you give them? I need a word. What? You give them what? He's a disciplinarian. I'm waiting to see how you will practicalize it. Hallelujah. I remember it's like every second church. These students should behave themselves. You know, everybody should be doing what they should be doing. I said, no problem. When your child comes, we will see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me show you something from the Bible and we'll finish then. Go to Luke 11. Let's look at verse 10. I'm going to take that message again next week, Principles of Prayer. Today I've changed it because our time has gone and I don't want to rush it. Luke 11:10. Let's see if we can learn something today about prayer. Read, someone give me Luke 11. So we have 5 more minutes to finish. Luke 11 verse 9 and 10. Let's have it, 2 versions. Luke 11 verse 9 and 10. Yes. Luke 11 verse 9 and 10.
And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you.
Ask and it shall be given to you. Yes.
Seek and ye shall find.
Seek and you shall what? Shall find. Yes.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Now, from what we just read, we'll go back to 10. Well, what we just read, who controls the giving? God or you? Well, according to that verse, it's you. But in general, we know that it's both of you. Amen? Because God is the giver, you are the receiver. But you initiate it and you control how. Because God is willing. Amen? He said, Son of David, you know, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. He said, I will. God is willing. Amen? God is willing not to give you every single thing you ask for, but to give you good and perfect gifts. Amen? He said, your Father in heaven, he already knows that you need those things. In fact, when you go to prayer, don't go to prayer thinking you are informing God what he didn't know. That's not why you're praying. Amen? That's not the reason why we pray. The reason why we pray is to, in order to be able to exercise our faith. Prayer is a prayer where we can believe God for something. Amen? Prayer is a process whereby you can step out and believe God for something. That's why we pray. Amen? What is God's interest in the matter? That he will be glorified. What is your own interest in the matter? That you will be blessed. Yeah? When God is glorified, and when you are blessed, and when God is glorified, you are blessed, the kingdom moves forward. Amen? God has a superior motive in every prayer you pray. You need to understand that. It's not about you alone. As you have an interest, God has an interest. When your interest matches with God's interest, miracles happen. Hallelujah. God has an interest. Please continue. Let's finish that one. Verse 10 now. I don't think I can take second reading. Let's just do it because of time. And I will explain it.
For everyone that asketh, receiveth.
This is the part that troubles me. I don't know how you read it. I don't know if it doesn't bother you. It bothers me. Everyone, you know, like Jesus is talking. He said, everyone that asks receives. Everyone. It isn't most people. It isn't some people. It isn't special people. It's everyone. Please continue.
And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh he shall be opened.
Hallelujah. This is the way I like to explain it today. The results of your prayer depends on how you are doing the asking, how you are doing the seeking, and how you are doing the knocking. All of them are asking. Seeking is an advanced form or another form of asking. Yeah? Knocking is another form of asking. They are all in different levels. Sometimes you will have to knock, not just ask. Sometimes you have to seek, not just ask. And sometimes it's simple asking. But it's not the what. It's not the repetition. It is the principles you are following in asking that determine whether you will receive what you ask for. But you will receive something anyway. If you ask like a beggar, you will receive like what? A beggar. Nothing guaranteed. The beggar has nothing guaranteed. There can be lucky days. You understand? Look. If a beggar wants a constant salary, what do they need to do? A beggar. Yeah? They want to be guaranteed £2,000 a month. Guaranteed. No shaking. What do they need to do? That's what? Yeah. Now, you don't understand that the Father operates like that. Spiritually. But I'm not talking about works. Don't misunderstand me. Working is a principle. It's a divine principle. Isn't it? Working is not a cause. When you work and there's no profit, it's a cause. But when you work, it's not a cause. You are created to work. If you are not working, yeah, you are not. When I say work, I don't mean going to an office. I'm talking about being productive. Whether you're an housewife or you're a hospital husband. You know the hospital husband? A doctor. You're all working. Yes, now he's the hospital husband. He will take care of all the patients. And they are patient. Hallelujah. You are all working. You are productive. Working means to be productive. It's not a cause. You were created to be productive. Hallelujah. When you are not productive, you are malfunctioning. Anytime in your life you are not productive, you are what? You are malfunctioning. And there will be consequences. Amen? So work is not the problem, but work, no profit. Or input greater than output, that's a cost. Praise the Lord. Let's finish that message because of time. A beggar who wants a constant salary needs to stop begging and start what? Working. But if you are satisfied with random salary, bonus, you also want to live on your bonus. Don't work. Keep begging. Apply to prayer. If you want your prayers to be get answered, understand the principles of prayer. Amen? God has not called you to be a lazy Christian. Amen? One of the principles of prayer is faith. He said, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them, and then you shall ask them. So someone say, when does God answer your prayer? For me, it's when I ask him. That is the moment I believe. I say, if you don't believe that God has your prayer, he didn't. You know why? You didn't believe he got up. You don't understand. God is only able to produce for you using the fuel for God's car is faith. No faith, no production. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God doesn't want you to be lazy spiritually. He has shown you the principles. They are not hidden. One of the principles of prayer is forgiving others who sin against you. If you don't forgive, then you will hinder your prayer. Amen? Let's stop there. Let's rise up and finish there because of time. Because I have much more to say, but we just need to. And by the way, time is not an enemy. Amen? On this side of eternity, time is not our enemy. We need time. All we need to do is redeem the the time. He's not an enemy. If there was no time, people would kill themselves with enjoyment. You don't believe it, that enjoyment can kill somebody? It can. I tell you. So time helps us to remember that we are human. Yeah? And it reminds us that we have to make the most of our time. That's why someone who is young and they are just not doing the will of God, before they know it, the gray hair will come. Yeah? Some people here now, do you remember the first day the first strand of gray hair appeared? What is your body telling you now? Yeah? You are progressing. Yeah? Hallelujah. Bible says we should redeem the time. Hallelujah. Say, I will redeem the time. I will make the most of every opportunity. Just talk to God this morning. Rededicate yourself to God. It's about trusting. Hallelujah. Don't start doubting God. You can't threaten God. If you pray prayers of threatening God, you will receive back the answer in threatening. The situation will threaten you. You can't threaten God. Can you threaten God? God cannot be threatened. So don't even bother threatening God in your prayer. It will come back to you. The answer will come back to you like that. Hallelujah. You ask in faith, believing. Hallelujah. That's the principle. You ask in faith, believing that God as your Father is committed to your best good. And anytime I pray, I always believe that God will give me whatever I ask for or something better. Never something worse. Because he's a good, good Father. Just tell him that you trust him. Just every, you know, whatever has worried you. You know, some of you are here. Some things have worried you recently. Just think about them right now and say, Father, even in this situation, I trust you. Hallelujah. Thank you because you are working everything together for my good. What you believe matters a lot. What you believe matters a lot. What do you believe about the situation? How do you see the situation? You see it remaining for the next 10 years like that? Or you see God moving? Begin to talk to God about that situation and say, Father, in this situation, you are God. And I trust you that you are walking. The Bible says, never slumbers, nor what? Nor sleeps. Hallelujah. It's walking in cooperation with your faith. It's walking according to what you believe. Hallelujah. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. Hallelujah. He said, just today, he said, be it unto you in accordance with your faith. Accordance. So believe, begin to see God working in everything that has troubled your life. See God now working everything for your good. And when I say your good, that includes righteousness. That's God's superior motive in all answers to prayer. It must be a righteous outcome. Hallelujah. To you be good glory, Father. We depend on you. We rely on you. We trust in you. As we're going to look at prayer, help us to become more effective. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give. Say, even the humans that are imperfect, they can give good things to their children. Say, how much more? He said, if you ask him for a fish, he's not going to give you a serpent. Oh, he may give you something better than the fish, but he's not going to give you a serpent. I believe that! I believe it. It depends on what you believe. What do you believe? Do you believe that if you ask God for a fish, he will give you a serpent? Do you believe that? It depends on what you believe about him. That's what you get. Everyone who asks receives according to what they believe.